for us. We're going to pray. Shall we pray for Adam today?
Yes.
Let's pray. Well, God, we thank you for Adam. We thank you for his faith in you. We thank you for his obedience to be used by you, both in where he's working at the moment, but also today as he stands in front of us. We thank you for the word that you put on his heart to share. Lord, we pray that you would fill him with your spirit as he shares with us, and that you would speak through him. And Lord, as he gives out, you would abundantly pour back into him, Lord. May he enjoy being sharing with us today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please turn on your mobile phone.
Before I start, it'd be good to just give you an update of where I'm up to at camp as well, and then we'll get into it as well. So some of you may know that obviously I've been at Yorkshire Camps over the last nearly 2 years now, but in August that will come to an end. I'm going to finish my time there, and I have a teaching degree, a PGCE place at a school in Birmingham. So I'm going to be moving down there to do that from September. So just wanted to say thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for all the ways that you've supported me through my ministry at Yorkshire Camps. And I pray that hopefully God will continue to use me in this new environment as well. So just wanted to let you all know that. Thank you very much for that. Wonderful. We're going to be looking at Romans 12 today. It's not a long passage that we're going to be looking at, but hopefully we'll get a lot out of it. So Romans 12, starting at verse 1, says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's where we're going to be today. But I want to start by asking you all a question. How do you live your life? For some, that might feel like quite a loaded question. Lots of people nowadays are passionate about their lifestyles, whether that be based off what they eat, which diet is the right one, exercise is another big one, mindfulness, or perhaps it's about lifestyles of extravagance, of money. Well, depending on who you ask and what you value depends on what life you try and live. And so today, what we're going to be looking at is the fact that a life with God means a lifestyle of worship to him. A life with God means a lifestyle of worship to him. And lifestyles, well, they aren't created because of nothing, are they? They're created because of something. For example, if you're a vegetarian, there's often a reason behind it. Maybe it's the way that people treat animals today. Well, Romans 12 starts by explaining why we are called to live this lifestyle of worship, and then how we are to do so. But just before we get started, let's set the scene. We're in the book of Romans, which is written by Paul, who was an apostle of Christ, and he wrote it to Christians in Rome. And the purpose of this letter seems to be to teach these new churches, as they grow, in detail, the basics of the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, and then what to do about it. And Romans 12, well, it's kind of the hinge on which the book turns this understanding into action. So, why are we called to live this lifestyle of worship? Well, it starts by saying this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, speaking to Christians, in view of God's mercy. Well, whenever there's a therefore, we need to ask what it is there for. And in this case, it shows us that if we want to know some of these mercies, then Paul's been telling the Roman church this already. See, if we read chapters 1 to 11, we would see the mercies of God laid out for us. Mercies of God's righteous judgment, his faithfulness, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fact that we are justified by faith and not works, which means that it's because we believe in him that we are saved, not because of what we do. And ultimately, through Jesus' death and resurrection from the grave. And I'm sure many of you could share and tell stories of where God has shown his mercies towards you in your lives as well. And what an encouragement it is to share that with each other, just as I'm sure it was an encouragement for the Roman church. But perhaps for some it is harder to notice those mercies. But they are there even when we don't realize God is working. When we find things difficult, God is still faithful. When we just continue to mess up and do things against God, he still died so we could be forgiven and one day be with him in heaven. In view of God's mercy. It's not we do things like God likes and then he shows us his mercies. God shows us his mercies, which then drives us to this lifestyle of worship. This lifestyle of living for him. What God has done should be enough of a motivation. It should be of enough value to us to want to live this way. And I want us to remember what it's in view of as we look at what Paul says we should do about it, okay? So, we need to keep those mercies in mind. Let's go back to the question. How do you live your life? If we see the things that God did for us, even when we didn't deserve it, then this is what Paul tells the church they should do in response. Worship. A life with God means a lifestyle of worship. Well, you may be asking, what does it look like to live this lifestyle? And we're going to look at three things that Paul tells us that worship is about. Firstly, that worship is about giving. Secondly, worship is about living. And thirdly, worship is about thinking. So, worship is about giving. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. Now, Google tells me that if you broke down your body into its basic elements, it's worth about £100. Not that much. But Paul isn't telling us to pay God back with bits of ourselves. He's instructing us to give 100% of what we do to God. That's why worship isn't just a hobby or a church thing. It's a lifestyle because it's about all that we do. Imagine what our day would look like if we were able to give everything to God all the time. It would look like Jesus. Offering our bodies is about an outward showing of gratitude and service. And we have all been given these different skills and interests, different things we enjoy, different passions. And the blessing of being able to worship in everything that we do is that all of us can do it. See, in the Old Testament, only certain people were allowed to give offerings to God. But now we are all able to show our worship by giving everything that we do. And the question is that if we aren't offering them to God, then what are we offering them to instead? It has to be one or the other. Well, Romans 6, verse 16 says this. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. If we aren't offering it to God, then we're giving it to something very different. See, our skills and interests, it's another one of God's mercies towards us, so that we can use it to worship him. And if we aren't giving it to what God, then we're giving it to something that doesn't deserve our worship. When we sing, it's an outwardly showing of that appreciation to God because of what he's done. It's not primarily for our benefit, it's for his. And we can do that wherever we are, whether we're in our workplace, in our homes, whoever we're with, we can be worshipping God, allowing him to use us in what we're doing for his purpose, whether that be sharing the good news with those around us or just sharing the grace and joy and love of Jesus with them. Worship is a lifestyle of all that we do. And it's not just specific actions. Whilst we can use the gifts we have been given to worship, what a blessing as well that it's not tied to them. I once heard a story of a singer who lost their voice and they couldn't sing anymore. They were distraught because they thought that meant that they couldn't praise God using their skills anymore. And we talked about earlier that these footballers that are Christians and when they score a goal, they're giving glory to God. But if they never played football again, because we can worship with everything, it means that we can still do that. And it's not even based off the amount that we give, but the percentage in which we do. Jesus explains this in Mark 12, where he's watching the offering plate with his disciples, and a widow comes and gives two small copper coins, compared to the rich people who are giving vast amounts of wealth. Jesus explains that the woman is the one who gave the most, because she gave all that she had to God, rather than small amounts of their abundance. You may not feel that you have a lot to offer to God, but he sees you in all that you do. And one day, the Bible says, we will be rewarded in heaven for it. But there is also caution. It's not just about what we give, but how we give too. Firstly, it's important to remember once again that it's in view of God's mercy, not to gain God's mercy. We said at the beginning that worship is a response to what God has already done for us. It's a motivation to serve him. We didn't earn those mercies by offering ourselves to him. It's not a payment. See, it's not like we go to the shops and get a chocolate bar and then we get to enjoy it. It's about the intentional giving of all that we do because of what he's done. Do you know all that God has done for you today? And does that drive a response to him? A response of worship. And secondly, our heart posture towards it matters as well. In the book of Amos, which is an Old Testament prophet, God challenges the Israelites on their way of doing things to him. Their singing and their offerings to him were made unacceptable because of their attitudes towards it. Worship isn't just about going through the motions either. It's not just about doing the things that God tells us to, but it's about having a heart of genuine desire to give. I'm sure if you've had children, you can relate to the issue of telling your child to do something, like washing up, but the huffing and grumbling about it makes it feel like it defeats the point in helping the family altogether. Not that that's what I ever did, of course. But worship, it's about the intentional giving of all that we do because of what he's done. It's the intentional giving of all that we do because of what he's done. Secondly, worship is about living. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. A living sacrifice. How can you have a living sacrifice? For us today, a sacrifice is when we might do something at the cost for another. It's about giving something up. We sacrifice our time to help a friend out, for example. And in return, we may get lots of thank yous, maybe even a gift. But for those around Jesus' time, a sacrifice meant something a lot more. People would sacrifice to all kinds of false gods and idols in the hope that they would gain blessing from them, or maybe even forgiveness. The book of Leviticus explains to the Israelites in great detail about how to offer different things to God for different reasons. But the purpose of those sacrifices was always about one thing taking the place of another, something covering the cost of something else. And for us today, it's probably quite hard to really imagine what the priests had to do back then, day in and day out. Well, praise God that for by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being made like Christ. See, the reason we are living sacrifices is because death has been defeated. Jesus has won. Do you see? We are no longer dead in our sins, but alive in Christ. And for those who join Christ, we are made living by his Spirit. Our worship to God means that we need to sacrifice our earthly desires, our pride, maybe even our comfort. But it also means that we have life. Life with him. And it's a lifestyle because it's constant. See, animal sacrifices, they were a one-time deal. But we are told to be constantly living like this for God. And it isn't like going through your to-do list where once you've done it at the start of the day, you can tick it off and be done with it. But it's about the way we do everything. Now, just making sure we're still remembering those mercies, okay? Still got those mercies in our head. Well, it's also important to say that it's not about doing anything we want and saying it's for God either. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But it's about living, giving our bodies as instruments of righteousness. We should want to strive towards living lives that are holy and pleasing to God. Lives that are pleasing in what we say, pleasing in our actions, the way that we deal with situations, pleasing by what we watch on TV perhaps, or listen to. And it's not our standard that matters, but God's, the one who knows the best way to live. And sometimes, with the help of the Spirit, we get this right. But as the evangelist D.L. Moody once said, the trouble with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. The important bit is, do we choose to crawl back on and go again with God? Or do we turn away? Do we turn back to Jesus and ask once more for his forgiveness? And try to live that life of worship once again? And it also doesn't mean that we can separate ourselves from culture either. Jesus modeled perfect, holy living, and he was fully engaged with his culture. Well, let us live different to those around us, but not separate. Worship is about living where you are in the way that God knows best. Living where you are in the way God knows best. So, we've looked at offering our bodies, giving everything to God. We've looked at the fact that we are living sacrifices, living with the Spirit, living the way God wants us to live. Well, thirdly, worship is about thinking. Now, I wonder if any of you remember those adverts, stop, look, listen, think. It was everywhere when I was growing up. And they were about teaching kids to do roads safely. Well, I find it's quite a helpful thing to do to check with yourself whether you are living a lifestyle of worship in what you're doing. Stop. Pause for a moment. Look. Look at what you're doing, what you're watching, what you're saying. Listen. Listen to what God wants you to do, how he wants you to be acting, whether that be listening to what the Bible is saying we should do, or maybe by another way, by prayer. And then think. Think how you can act upon it where you are. See, thinking is an important part. Sometimes people think that worship is this emotional, spiritual thing where you are led by the Spirit into worshiping God. And perhaps sometimes it's true. Emotions are a part of it. We are emotional beings after all. And the Spirit, well, he's always a part of it. Without him, we wouldn't even be able to worship God. But how often do we see it as a mind thing as well? Firstly, in Deuteronomy 6, the nation of Israel is told to love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And Jesus then affirms this in Matthew 22. So, worship involves the mind. But also, Romans 12 says that by offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship, or this is your spiritual act of worship. But the Greek word that is used is logikon, which can be translated as reasonable or even rational. See, worship, it involves thought. It's not a thing of blind faith, but as a rational response to what has been done for us. It involves us thinking about how we do, how we live in the right way now that is pleasing to God. It's a conscious decision, and we must keep on making it. Worship is intentional because it uses the mind. And without doing that, well, Paul warns us in verse 2, what happens? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's perfect will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our mind is really important. That's one of the reasons why we have to be careful what we feed it with. Even if we think it's harmless, the messages of the world tell us, sometimes subtly, sometimes not so subtly, about how we should live. And it molds us over time. It molds us into the way the world views worship. What is molding us right now? And see, if clay is being molded, then it happens from the outside in, doesn't it? Just as the world focuses on using the outside perspective to change us. But being transformed is an inside-out perspective. To transform something, it takes time. And it's a process that we are part of. See, it has to be one or the other. You can't be transformed inside whilst you're being transformed outside or conformed outside. Either we let the world conform us to its way of thinking by pressure, or we allow God to transform us to his perfect way of thinking by the renewal from within. Well, how do we let God do this? We let him do this by feeding ourselves on his goodness, spending time in his word, not allowing ourselves to be molded by how the world thinks. Fellowship with each other, prayer. Letting the truth renew our way of thinking. See, worship is an intentional and rational reaction to the desire to live God's way. It's an intentional and rational reaction to desire to live God's way. Offering our bodies, offering all of ourselves to God, living sacrifice, living the way that God wants us to live, and using our minds, thinking about what we're doing, seeing what he's done, and letting that motivate us towards him. Now, I know I said there was 3 points, but there is one final bit that we haven't looked at, and that is that worship is about acting. See, Paul starts Romans 12 by saying this, therefore I urge you. For Paul, this wasn't something he wanted the Roman Christians to contemplate on for a long time, come up with a committee, make a 10-step plan on what to do. He wanted them to act on it now. For Paul, it seems a bit like a no-brainer. You read Romans 1 to 11, of course your response is going to be worship. Look at what God has done for us. Now act on it. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. It isn't a case of if I'm feeling up for it, because it's about the fact Jesus deserves it. When we see the way that we live in view of God's mercy, we see that it isn't about us, but it's about responding to what we've already been given. So, how do you live your life? Do you see what God has done for you this week? Today already, maybe. But then, let us be moved to be a people who live a lifestyle that is based on worship to God. Offering our bodies, 100% of what we do. Being a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Doing it His way, not ours. And using our minds, seeing it as a rational response to His mercy that He showed us even before we looked at Him. And let us thank Him for what He's done and offering ourselves to Him for what He is doing. Amen. We're now going to stand and sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And I chose this song. There was a few options I was thinking of, and I chose it because of the chorus. It says this in the chorus. I don't know if it can come up on the screen. "Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." As we sing, let's remind ourselves once again of those mercies that help us to motivate towards worshipping Him. Not tomorrow, but this afternoon. Let's stand and sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
You know, just say thank you to Adam for sharing with us and speaking to us. You know, I think you're well on the way, I think, if you can come up with a sermon with 4 points all rhyming. I mean, that's quite high level if you can get, if you can think of words that rhyme and hold your points under them words, I think that's pretty good going. But the message is there, it's for us all, and it's an important message. I think a guy called Steve Furick said the other day, I was listening to something, he mentioned something, he said, you know, if God did nothing else for me, ever again, He's done far, far more than I could ever repay or want. And that's it, when we look back on the mercies of what God does, if He, you know, then, everything He's done for us. But we know that He continues to give. That's the side of God, is He keeps giving new mercies every single day. So let our lives reflect that. How is that going to manifest itself as we go out from this place, in our giving and in our living, in our offering? How is that going to be? I think it's a challenge to us, isn't it? For us all, in the different places that we'll find ourselves in this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, this week. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank You for Your mercies, which are new every day. We thank You for all that You have given to us and done for us and been for us. Lord, when we look back on our lives perhaps, and we sometimes forget, we take things for granted. We perhaps, I don't know, we slightly water down the abundance of what You've done for us. Lord, just renew that in us again. Renew that sense of of what You've done for us. Just renew that sense of the fact that You died for us on the cross because we were stuck in our sin and our mess. The fact that You rose again victorious to give us life and life in its fullness, life in freedom, life with peace and hope and purpose. And for those ongoing mercies that You've shown us as we've walked our lives, the times when You've guided us and directed us, the times when You've protected us and held us. Lord, in many ways we can't repay, but You don't ask us, it's not about repaying, it's just about responding. Lord, may we start to be filled up with a sense of response of worship to who You are. That when we go from this place, as we give and live and offer and act, Lord, that we will do it because it just naturally wells up within us because we want to honour Your name. We want to worship, say thank You. We want the whole world to know. So challenge us again, we pray. As we go from this place, let this message be part of us as we go into the different places that we'll find ourselves. And may our whole lives everything we are and do and say and think and be, may it be a sacrifice of praise and offering of worship to your name. Not because we're trying to earn anything, not because we're trying to gain favor. Lord, just because you're God and all that you've already done and given and been for us. Lord, you deserve it. We can cheer on England this week if we want to. Absolutely. We can cheer them on because we want them to win. But Lord, may we praise you. May we worship you. Mighty God, wonderful God. In all our being. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing our final song.